All right, so what we talked about last week was this, that the Bible teaches us that there's an unseen world that influences the seen world. Much like germs, it has the potential to impact our visible world. So the invisible, there's an invisible world that has an impact on the visible world. And that's not to kind of freak us out, because Jesus showed us what it was about. And one of the things that we can figure out about that is that one of the people that we're dealing with in the unseen world is the devil himself. And we don't really need a whole lot of convincing to find out this to be true, because what we found is that the devil is a deceiver. As Jesus put it, he's the father of lies, and there's nothing truthful that comes out of him. And we don't need a lot to be convinced of that. Some of us, we just need a rearview mirror in our life. I talked about this last week. You ever ask yourself when you came through a situation, how could I have been so blind? Why didn't I see that coming? Why didn't I figure that out sooner? And Jesus talked about this unseen world that impacts us, that what we see and what we experience. And here's what he said, and we learned this last week, that the devil's goal is to destroy lives by means of deception. Because here's what he knows: deception leads to confusion, and confusion leads to bad choices. And so today, what we're going to talk about is four areas. We're going to look at one of the four areas where we're so easily deceived. And today, we're going to talk about the issue of authority. Authority. So, when it comes to the world today, this is common in our world today. In fact, some of you, when I tell you it's a lie, some people will be like, wait, well, that's not a lie, that's actually true. But here's the lie that is embraced so completely in our culture, so completely in our world, and even in many churches today, and that's this: rebellion equals freedom. Rebellion equals freedom. Because what do most people think freedom is? The ability to do whatever I want, when I want, how I want. But do you know why we know this isn't true? Because prisons are full of rebellious people, right? They knew what they were supposed to do, they didn't do it, and now are they free? No. Because here's where we kind of embrace this logic. The idea is this: they think that as long as I agree, then the rule is fine by me. But if I don't, then I'm free to do whatever I want. Don't you see that all the time these days? You can do it in a simple traffic stop. You can see these things all the time on Facebook and social media. Their people don't agree with being pulled over. They don't agree with a certain rule. And so they say, you know what? If I don't agree, then I can do what I want. But as long as I agree, then it's fine by me. See, the lie that many have bought into, and when they buy into the destructive ways that come with it, is this lie. And this is the lie we're going to talk about tonight. If I disagree, then I'm free to disobey. If I disagree, then I'm free to disobey, or I'm free to disregard. Because here's what we tend to do in our culture. We evaluate rule by rule. Let's think about this. Anybody ever drove through a certain part of town and saw the speed limit and thought to yourself, that's a stupid speed limit? Mostly we do that after we get pulled over, right? We thought it was a 55, but it was a 35. And after you get the ticket, you're thinking, it should definitely be 55. So we think it's, how about this one? I don't know how many people say this: stupid tax laws. We live in California. Of course we're going to say that sometimes, right? I can't believe they taxed us here. I can't believe they taxed us there. I remember going through voting season last year. I said, surely nobody will pass this and add more taxes, and lo and behold, boom, they did. And we think, stupid tax laws, why? Why? Well, you know what? I don't like that tax law, so I'm not obeying that tax law. you go to school or you go to college or you go where you work, and your work or your school has a policy handbook. And we look at it and say, you know what? I think that role is so stupid. Why would they make us wear this? Why would they make us do this? I don't like those things. Because what we've come up is we evaluate every rule by itself, and we think this: if I disagree, then I'm free to disobey. But that's not what the Bible says. So, like you, I'm not against the idea of authority, because in some cases I am an authority. I'm a pastor. I'm a father. I'm a boss. I'm all kinds of things. And authority is fine for people. Do you know when people are okay with being an authority? When they're in authority. I'm okay with authority as long as I'm the authority. And I'm okay with authority as long as authority supports me. Because let's be honest. I want the police to help me, not chase me. Right? I want people to come in and help me and see me. You see, there are a lot of times when we look at rules and it's like, yeah, I know what my spouse agreed to, or I know what my parents agreed to, but I never signed up for that. Authority is fine as long as I agree and it makes sense. The issue in this is this: it's not a law problem, it's a me problem. I don't want to be under authority, just over authority. So here's where we get deceived. Notice this quickly. I'm fine with authority as long as it is understood that if I disagree, I am free to disobey, because doing what I want to do makes me free. That is a lie. And it's a lie that people embrace hook, line, and sinker every day. In fact, some of you are reading this, you're like, wait a minute, that can't be true. True freedom is found in whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. And that's just not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. But here's the thing that we need to understand tonight. We think when it comes to rules that the issue is what? And as long as the issue is what? No, the word what? The rule. And as long as I can evaluate each rule, then I'm in authority. Let me see if I can help you understand that. If I don't like what I'm being asked to do, then I will challenge the what. If what doesn't make sense to me, then guess what? I'm going to forget about it. And if I get caught, I'll tell you it was a stupid rule anyway. And if I don't get caught, then I'm not responsible for the wrong that I did. And I'm definitely not going to feel guilty. If it was a stupid law, then that frees me to do as I please. And if I don't think I can get by with it, then guess what I will do? I'll submit to it because I don't want the consequences. It's not because I have respect for the authority. I'll obey because I don't want to face the consequences. But the day that I think I can get by with it, then guess what? If I don't like the rule and the day that I think I can get by with it, then guess what I'll do? I will try to do it. Why? Because I'm my own authority. And if we're all talking about, if all we were talking about is speed limits, dumb school rules, expense accounts, what's deductible, when is curfew, then this would just be a slightly interesting discussion. And let's just be honest, not all that important. But there's a dangerous twist in this. You see, what about that 16-year-old that climbs in the car with his buddies and a six-pack of beer saying, I don't like the rule that I can't drink underage. And now we're going to, just because I don't like the rule, I'm going to bend the rule to make it what I want it to. Where did he learn that? He learned that a couple of years ago when his father took him in to a theater, or he took him into a ballpark and said, my son isn't 14, my son is actually 12. I don't like the rule. I don't want to pay that much for the ticket. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pretend that he's a younger age to get a better deal. Well, he may have got a better deal, but at the same time, his son watched that. And you know what his son learned? When I disagree with the rules, then I'm free to disobey the rules. I was recently tempted with that. You see, when we decided to go ziplining on our vacation, the line was 15. If you were over 15, you had to pay the adult price, and the adult price was double the kid price. And so there I was ziplining, and I'm like, and they don't even check the age. So I called the place, and my kids were like, well, you know, it'd be okay. And I'm like, no. I was like, well, how much is our character worth? Is it worth that amount of money? Well, we'll be able to do more. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. So here I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call them, and I'm going to say, look, I have a 16-year-old, just turned 16 just a few months ago. Can I get her the kid discount since we're bringing all these people and you're making all this money? So I had the perfect spiel, and I called them, and I put time and effort into this spiel. I put a little bit of guilt trip in there. I put a little bit of passion in there. I put a little, I might not come if you don't give us this. And I went through the whole thing, spent like 2 minutes, and at the end she goes, I'm sorry, we can't do that for you. What? And I tried one, well, I don't know if we're going to make it. So I went online, and I got them, and I paid the price, and then I went on there, and literally I could have just made it up. But you know what? I didn't want my kids to think one day, when they disagree with a rule, that it's okay to disobey a rule. And it may have saved me some bucks, but I hope in the end it saved them from a bad decision. You see, that dad that sneaks his kid in at a different age, that mom who talks to two doctors and gets the same prescription without either one knowing that they got the prescription, all these kind of things can add up. Because we live in a world where people think if I disagree, then I'm free to disobey. But when it comes to authority in our world, it's all about the what. Do I agree with the rule or I disagree with the rule? Do I agree with the way that the police officer handled this or I disagree with the way that the police officer handled it? And if the police officer handled it a wrong way, then I am free to disobey. Because here's what you need to understand. In our world, it's all about the what. But here's what you need to see. Take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 13. God looks at it very differently. God looks at it very differently. He views authority very differently. And what we need to do tonight is we need to embrace his view, his perspective of authority. Because in our world, if I disagree, then I'm free to disobey. But God doesn't look at the what. What we need to understand before we jump into Romans chapter 13, with God, the focus is not on what, the focus is on who. That's not in your outlines, but I want you to see that as we go. As we read in Romans 13, as we study it, you're going to see that it's not about the rules. It's about the who, not about the what. Because in Romans chapter 13, do you know who the ruler was when he was writing and addressing the Christians in Rome? Do you know who the Christians in Rome ruler was? It was Nero. If there was ever a worse ruler, I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat, there's never been as bad a president as Nero was a leader. He imprisoned Christians. He burned them. In fact, he liked to bag them up and burn them as lamps in his backyard. He liked to feed them to the lions. He killed family members just for fun. And so if there was anybody that had a bad leader in their society, it was Nero. But notice what Paul says to the people at the churches in Rome. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. He said, everyone needs to be submissive to the governing authorities. And they're thinking, even Nero? And he's like, yes, even Nero. To which someone says, but shouldn't we evaluate it one law at a time, Pastor Joe? What he said, let every soul, everybody, be subject unto the higher powers. Notice this, for there is no power but of God. What he's saying is this, there is no authority that God has not established. Yes, Nero is up to things that are totally anti-God and anti-Christian, but God allowed Nero to be in that place, in that moment, and he was their governing authority. The powers that be are ordained of God. That is, the authorities that exist have been established by God. You know what this verse seems to be all about? Not the what, but who. To which we're thinking, well, when do we get to argue about the particular rules? What about these rules that Nero has and they're totally anti-God? What about those? No, that's not what, we haven't got to that point, because when you understand God's perspective, we'll be able to answer those questions right away. But what we need to do is we need to get our focus off of what, and we need to get our focus on who when it comes to authority. Because God always works through human authority, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. God always works through human authority. Then he comes to verse 2. Whosoever, therefore, so in light of this, resisteth the power. So he says, you know what? I'm not listening to Nero. I don't care what you say, Paul. Whoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. He's saying, those of you that resist this, you are resisting someone that's been put in place by God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. This will tell you how you know God focuses on the who, but the devil tries to get us focused on the what. Remember the story of Adam and Eve? When Adam and Eve, he got their eyes off of God, the who, and got them on the rule, the what. And when he got their eyes off of the who and onto the what, they eventually gave into the temptation. You see, what this verse is saying is simply this. Rebelling against authorities is equivalent to rebelling against God. Yeah, but that rule, you don't understand that rule, and I don't like that rule, and God doesn't even like that rule. He didn't even come up with that rule. No, 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 no. This is what Paul's saying. It's not about the what. It's about the who. And rebelling against authorities is equivalent to rebelling against God. You see, my response to human authority reflects my response to the ultimate authority. And then he goes on in verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to do good work, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. He's saying, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then this is what you do. Then simply do what they command you to do. He says, you want to be free from the fear? Then just do what they ask you to do. But notice, see here, see a colon? That means the thought's not completed. Four, so continuing the thought, why should we do that? He is the minister of God. He, what is? The authority figure. He's literally talking about Nero here for them. Nero is God's servant to you, church at Rome. And think about this. There are people in political power, and there are people in local power. There are people that you may not necessarily like or necessarily agree with. But here's what he's saying is this. That is God's servant that has been put in that place. But if you do wrong, be afraid. He says, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He beareth not the sword in vain. He is God's servant. And so here's what happens. When you choose to disobey, there are going to be consequences that come that. And God's going to use that evildoer to bring about chastisement on the wrongdoer. You who disobey. Then he says this, why? For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. He's free to do that. God will allow that to happen. You see that in the Old Testament. But what we need to understand is we look at Romans 13. Once again, the focus is not, I'm not on that dumb rule. He doesn't look at it rule by rule by rule by rule by rule. When it comes to authority, he says, look at the who. Then look at verse 5. Wherefore, in light of this, ye must needs be subject or submissive, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So, he said, some of you are going to obey, and you're going to obey for this, because you don't want to be punished. Some people, we don't like the rule, but we're going to do the rule because we don't want the consequences that comes with disobeying the rule. That's what the first part means. He's saying, so it's like this. I used to do this. There were some things I didn't do that I didn't necessarily agree with my parents, but if I did it, my dad was going to kill me. Y'all been there? You know that. So I didn't do it because I had a heart for obedience. I just didn't want my dad to kill me. That's this, not only for wrath, but notice this, but also for conscience sake. Not only because I don't want them to hurt me or to face the consequences, but I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. Boy, that's growth. That's maturity. I remember when I began obeying my dad, not because I was afraid my dad was going to kill me. I obeyed my dad because I didn't want to hurt my dad. It was a growth in relationship. Verse 6. For this cause pay ye tribute. So, you don't like Nero's taxes? Well, frankly, neither do I. But you know what you need to do? Pay them. Why should we pay taxes? Because the authorities, the United States authorities, the California authorities, the local authorities, they're all God's servants. Whether they know God or not. But they give their full time to governing. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. Why? For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And because they're doing and what God's allowing them to do, we need to obey. Then he goes in verse 7, render therefore to all their dues. The ones you like, the ones you don't like. Give everyone who you owe him. Tribute to whom tribute is due. You say, well, if I do that, then I won't be able to afford. Can I just tell you? You've revealed in yourself a me problem. You've decided that it's up to you to meet all your needs. But what does God say? That's my problem. You do what's right and you trust me with the consequences. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. He says, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, pay revenue. If you owe respect, pay respect. If you owe honor, pay honor. Titus chapter 3 literally says, speak evil of no man. You know, I think it's time for Christians to stop doing. It's time to stop going on social media, and it's time to stop blasting political leaders, whether you agree with them or disagree with them. Because here's what you're doing. You're eliminating your influence of the gospel, and the gospel is way more important than your political party. That's why you're never going to hear me stand up here and say, vote this guy, vote this woman, vote them. No, 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 no. The gospel is so much more important than that. And we're to speak evil of no man. Because too much we're trying to play God, and we need to let God be God and we be his obedient servants. Because what this passage is saying is this: your attitude toward authority is a reflection of your attitude toward God. The way you view authority is the way that you view God. And can I just be honest with you? None of us in here know completely what God is up to. So what we need to understand is when we say yes to authority, we're saying yes to God. Not because they are equal with God. Don't understand that. They are not. But because God established their authority. Rebelling against an authority is rebellion against God. Because God put them in authority. But here's what we think. Well, I thought I could separate them out. I thought I could take what I like and keep what I like and take out what I don't like. But once again, that's part of the lie. The world says it's about the what, but God says, I don't look at it about the what. We don't look at it rule by rule by rule. We look at the who. Because here's a principle you'll find all throughout Scripture. God works through authority. God works through authority. So you know what I found in my life? I can know I'm out of the will of God when I'm going against God-given authority. It doesn't really matter whether they're right or wrong. God works through authority. So here's a question. And just kind of answer it yourself. You don't have to answer it out loud. Is it okay to question authority? Yes, because here's the lie that goes with that. We tend to think that questioning and rebelling are the same thing, but questioning and rebelling are two different things. How many remember a day where people put questioning and rebelling in the same category? But that's not what Scripture says. As long as you hold the deceive version, the what version, you'll see them as one and the same. Why? See, when you review it as the what version, then all questioning is so I can eventually do what I want to do. But when you're in the who version, the questioning is so you can better understand why we do it. So, a question on authority becomes an excuse to disregard it when we're thinking the what rather than the who. When we're thinking about the rule, then when I'm thinking about the what, the rule, then I question it so I can find a loophole to disobey or rebel or find a reason to. But when I'm focused on the who, the question is so I can better understand reasoning. And there's nothing wrong with that. Here's the next one. But what about when those governing authorities or those authorities ask you to do something that God says we're clearly not to do? What do we do then? Well, the objections to the principle are actually answered by the principle. Let me give you an example. Let's say a child and a parent go into a store and the parent asked a child to steal something. Parent says, I'm going to distract over here. You go ahead and put that in your coat, backpack, or whatever, and then we're going to leave the store. Let's just say that happened. But this child says, no, I won't do that because it's against the law. When mom and dad operate outside the law, then the child needs to stay under the authority of the law. So an illegal abuse of authority takes that authority out of the chain of authority. Y'all see what I'm saying? So when mom or dad, you got the law, and then mom and dad, and then child. But when mom and dad go, whoop, I'm going to step out over here, it's not the responsibility of the child to follow. It's still to stay under the authority of the law. And this same is true as this. You have God, government, us. When government steps outside of the authority of God, then our job is to stay under the authority of God. But what we end up doing is this. Well, when government does one thing I don't like, then I'm free to disobey all of what I don't like. So the principle actually answers itself. You appeal to a higher authority. The government is saying this, but the government answers to God, then I answer to God as well. And if the government says something different than God, then I go with what God says. Is it better to obey God? Sometimes it's God because you recognize that you're always under authority. Think about this. Who did that? Who did not rebel? Even though the government said this, they didn't rebel. Story of Daniel. The law is you can't pray, you can't do that. Well, God has commanded me to do that. This is what God wants me to do. So I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to trust God with the consequences. But here's the interesting thing. When Daniel got caught, he didn't lie. He didn't do what's wrong. He appealed actually to the relationship of the king and said, I'm sorry, king. I understand what you have to say, but I can't in good conscience do that because God told me to do that. And you know how the king viewed him? He honored him and respected him. The king knew he had been duped. And so when he survived the lion's den, what did the king do? Let's chomp all those guys that went in there, get them in there. And those fellows didn't even hit the ground. Been watching Shark Week. I kind of can imagine what happened to him, right? God always works through authority. You see that with Daniel. You see that with Jesus. Paul did this. This is so practical here. What we now do at work has spiritual implications. You may not go to church every day like I do for work, but where you go to work has spiritual implications. Where you go to school has spiritual implications because how you respond to your boss, how you respond to your teachers has spiritual implications. How you pay your taxes, how you obey your parents, because here is what they're saying. Your response to the authorities you can see is a reflection of your response to the supreme authority that you cannot see. The way that you view the seen authorities is a reflection of how you view God. All these reflect your attitude toward authority, which reflects your attitude.